Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 14th China Fahui on the Minghui website entitled Rescuing an Incarcerated Practitioner Under Master's Guidance by Jing Xin, a Falun Gong practitioner in Shandong.
China Fahui, Rescuing an Incarcerated Practitioner Under Master's Guidance by Jing Xin, a Falun Gong practitioner in Shandong. A fellow practitioner in my area, called Wang, was released from a detention center at the end of 2016. She told us of another practitioner from another area named Yao, who was still being held in the detention center. The local 610 office was attempting to sentence her to 1.5 years in prison, and she was in very low spirits. Yao was not able to study the Fa and practice the exercises due to the hostile environment. She was so desperate to be released quickly that she had pled guilty to trumped-up charges during her initial court hearing. I told Wang that it was not a coincidence for us to learn about Yao's situation. Master said, quote, "The next person's things are your things, and your things are his things," unquote. From teaching the Fa at the Washington, D.C. Fa Conference, we discussed how we could rescue practitioner Yao. Master does not want to give up on any disciple, and we felt it was our responsibility to help secure her release. We did not know any practitioners in Yao's home district. We then contacted practitioners near her district and asked them to find out why she was detained. However, nobody knew Yao or anything about her. We decided to contact Yao's parents and set off by car to their village, but we got lost on our way there. A thought popped into my mind. Look for a taxi driver. We then saw a taxi driver on the roadside who was organizing the trunk of his car. He described the directions to us in detail. We drove on for a while, but got lost again. Another thought popped into my mind. Go to a gas station. We happened to be right near one. A motorized tricycle was leaving as we drove in. When I asked the driver for directions, he smiled and said, "Follow me, I'm going there." We truly felt that Master was beside us. We finally arrived at the village of Yao's parents. When we told them the intention of our visit, her parents were reluctant to cooperate with us. I said, "Whatever happens, Yao is your daughter. You would never wish for her to be detained in a cell with over a dozen others, packed in like sardines." Yao's father said, "Let her stay there. Otherwise, she'll distribute Falun Gong informational materials as soon as she's released." We talked to Yao's mother, also a Falun Gong practitioner. She said in tears, her father and I went to the city where she is detained. We tried to visit the relevant government offices to request her release and told the government staffers that the Constitution stipulates freedom of belief. But those offices shifted responsibility and did not take any action. We ran back and forth for over 4 months, but never got to visit our daughter. Nobody spoke up for us. We were so discouraged and could not afford the trips anymore. We feel helpless. We fully understood their suffering. We told Yao's mother that we would not give up trying to rescue her daughter, no matter how difficult it was, and that we needed to raise awareness of the persecution in order to obtain her release. Later, we contacted practitioners in Yao's district and in her parents' area after attempts to coordinate the rescue continually failed. Practitioners in our area also joined the effort. Moving forward courageously under Master's guidance. We shared our experiences with practitioners in Yao's district. They all agreed to cooperate and to send righteous thoughts. We also learned that practitioners in Yao's district had contacted her husband, a non-practitioner several times. In an attempt to get his wife released earlier, Yao's husband had hired a lawyer to plead guilty for her, hoping that the court would give her a reduced sentence. Her husband had sought connections and had spent a lot of money on this, but there was no update for nearly a year. An 80-year-old practitioner in my area decided to go with Yao's mother to the city where Yao was detained to request her release. Yao's mother reluctantly agreed. They arrived at the city after a 2-hour trip and went to the police station, the procuratorate, the court, detention center, and other relevant departments, but were not allowed in any of the offices. They spoke to the security guards about the persecution. Distraught, Yao's mother said, "I told you we shouldn't have come. I've been here so many times. We aren't even allowed to enter the offices. Nobody can help us." There were also complaints among other practitioners. Some thought that it was a waste of time and useless. Some practitioners in my area said that it was another area's issue and that we had many things of our own to take care of. Some even advised me not to coordinate the effort across districts. After thinking it over, Practitioner Wang and I went to visit Yao's parents again. There was a strong wind and heavy snow as we drove, and we could hardly see the road in front of us. After driving a while, it suddenly became clear. However, after some more distance, we encountered heavy snow again. Then it would become clear for a short distance. I enlightened that Master was giving us a hint that we could only move forward but not retreat, and that however difficult it was, there would be a bright outcome. We met with Yao's parents and offered our encouragement. We then asked a local lawyer to visit Yao in the detention center. We transcribed some of Master Li's teachings and asked the lawyer to bring them to Yao. The lawyer was upset, worried about losing her job should the Dafa materials be discovered. We then made an agreement with the lawyer to bring a few simple words to Yao: determination, righteous thoughts, and denying the old forces arrangement. We talked to the lawyer about Falun Dafa and the persecution, and she agreed to quit her membership in the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, and its affiliated organizations. After the lawyer visited Yao in the detention center, we gave her some information on freedom of belief and the crime of the CCP's persecution from the perspective of the law. We hoped that she would understand the issues. As we continued to meet with the lawyer, we gave her different information each time, including other lawyers' strong defense of Falun Gong practitioners. The next time we asked the lawyer to visit Yao, she gladly brought Master Li's teachings that we had initially asked her to bring. Meanwhile, after several visits from the lawyer, Yao in the detention center was developing stronger righteous thoughts. The lawyer then called me and said that the court suspected that Yao's change was due to her visits, and she expressed her worry. Only then did I begin to see things from the point of view of the lawyer's needs, and I told her that we were concerned about her safety and any of the ramifications her involvement might have on her professional career as well. Once when she returned from visiting the detention center, I asked her about Yao's plight. I suddenly asked myself why I only cared about the practitioner who was incarcerated, but not about the lawyer. I then asked, "Are you okay? Did the detention center give you a hard time?" I enlightened that selflessness is a manifestation of a practitioner's elevation in the Fa. Practitioner Wang and I went to visit Yao's parents 2 days before the Chinese New Year. It was our 6th trip there. This time we drove in mixed rain and snow. There was ice on the road. Wang couldn't drive and didn't think about the road conditions. She gave me directions alongside a mountainous road full of steep hills. I drove with both hands tightly grasping the steering wheel and asked for Master's help in my mind. My legs were numb and my whole body was tight. Finally, after half an hour, we were back on flat roads. Yao's parents were surprised to see us. We said again that we'd never met Yao in person, but that Dafa practitioners are one body and we should try to rescue her. We needed to work together to secure Yaa's release. Her father was moved and said, "Only Falun Dafa practitioners could do this nowadays." It was snowing when we drove home that afternoon. As we neared home, the sun was high in the sky, though it should have been setting at that time. I suddenly recalled Master's poem, quote, "The heavenly bodies pure and clear, heaven and earth made right. The great calamity has passed, the universe is bright," unquote. From After the Calamity in Hung Yin. I knew that it was Master's encouragement for us to move forward and not give up. Practitioners cooperate as one body, and Practitioner Yaa is released. Yao's mother started calling the director of the detention center where she was detained. She raised awareness about the persecution. She was scolded and cursed. We shared experiences and encouraged each other. Practitioners in my area called the judge overseeing Yao's case and talked about Falun Gong and the persecution. The judge initially had a negative attitude and wouldn't allow the practitioners to speak. Under the practitioner's energy field of compassion and perseverance, the judge gradually changed his attitude. Once, the judge listened to a practitioner's explanation carefully and patiently for 6 or 7 minutes. He said he would ask for a new hearing soon. In mid-February, the second hearing of the first trial was held in the local court in Yaa's district. Many practitioners from her district, as well as my area and the city where Yaa's parents lived, went to show their support and to send righteous thoughts in close proximity to the court. During the hearing, the judge asked Yaa to plead guilty so that she would be released sooner. The lawyer that Yaa's husband had hired also made the same recommendation. Yaa was not moved. She had regained her righteous thoughts. Yaa said righteously and with dignity in the court, "Freedom of belief. There is no wrongdoing in believing in Falun Gong. No matter what charges the judge tried to get her to plead guilty to, Yaa was steadfast and denied them completely." After the hearing was adjourned, practitioners from the three areas shared a common understanding. We should not let up, but should continue to cooperate together to mail letters, make phone calls, and send righteous thoughts. Practitioners in my area called the presiding judge again. The judge asked the practitioners not to mail letters or call him. The practitioners enlightened that the evil factors in other dimensions could not withstand the pressure. Practitioner Yaa was released a few days later without any charges against her. I had tears in my eyes as I saw Yaa step out of the detention center. She didn't speak to us as she didn't know us. My only thoughts were of deep gratitude to Master.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.